Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com for more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
God, for your grace. I want to preach a sermon this morning, and I normally would preach a sermon like this on a Sunday or Wednesday night, but because many of us are going to be watching online the conference and being involved in the conference, I felt it fitting through prayer to be able to minister to you on the aspect of the heart. And the title of my sermon this morning is called, Did Not My Heart Go With You? Did Not My Heart Go With You? The heart. Right? The center of a person, the heart, where you deliberate, where you can unjustly judge and make some choices that can potentially destroy destiny, the heart, the place that God looks upon and hopes that he finds obedience. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Before I continue on, church, I first want to tell you that we love our church. And so in prayer and crying out to God and saying, God, give me a word for your people. God, I want to be able to minister to your people, but I only want to minister to them what you feed me. Because one thing I don't want to do, I don't want to give you my thoughts. That'd be a disservice to you. I want to speak to you what God speaks to my heart. Does it make sense to pray for guidance about the future if we're not obeying and the thing that lies before us today? How many momentous events in Scripture depended on one person's seemingly small act of obedience? You need to be rest assured. Do what God tells you to do now. Depending on it, you will be shown what to do next. See, the presence, A.W. Tozer said, the presence and the manifestation of the presence are not the same. They can be the one without the other. God is here when we are wholly unaware of it. He is manifest only when we, as we are aware of his presence, on our part, there must be surrender to the Spirit of God. For his work is to show us the Father and the Son. If we cooperate with him in loving obedience, God will manifest himself to us. And that manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of his face. You know how many people say, man, I love Jesus. Oh, I love God. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Be in church on Wednesday. Oh, God, my back hurts. Oh, God, I don't feel good. See, man, woman of God, you will know when you're right with God, when you obey every order that God has placed before you. You will know. Now, the thought I want to bring to you this morning comes from experience I've had over the years, but something that was reiterated yesterday while we were at the concert. So here it is, my pastor, he was running errands, he was doing these, preparing for conference, he's preaching at the conference. That's a huge, heavy weight because he's ministering to thousands of people. Amen. And of course, there's so much going on there. But as I'm sitting in the sanctuary, the concert's going on, I see my pastor going up the stairs. So I go up the stairs. Because, you know, this is the Bronx. You know, anything can happen up there. So he goes upstairs. He's trying to make phone calls because he has to get things in order. I go. I said, Pastor, you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. My phone is not working properly. And, you know, we're talking a bit, so I've helped fix the phone up. He's making the phone calls, and I'm still out there with him. I'm not going to leave until he's done. I come back downstairs with my pastor. I walk in front of him. He's getting older, so, you know, to his eyesight and the steps. And so I walk in front of him. And I go downstairs, and one of the brothers says, man, he said, Pastor, I should have been the one that's... I was able to do that because my heart is turned to God, but is also linked to my pastor. See, I see the need, and I view how my pastor operates. And so I ask God, God, give me my pastor's heart so we can link. So when I see the need that he sees, that I can fill that need. But it was something miraculous that took place, that somebody else that should have did that got convicted because they didn't do it. He came to me after the concert. He said, man, I should have. He said, next time. And I looked at him. And I said, brother, I know there won't be a next time. I trust that you are going to do what you need. And the reason I say that, beloved, because as the church is growing, our hearts have to be linked. God, if God is helping me steer the ship one direction, I can't have you go another direction. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27, the Bible says this, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take two talents. And he urged them and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and handed them to two of his servants. And they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand, stored them away in his house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master. Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from the presence leprous, as white as snow. This scripture for any pastor is very disturbing. Because we just look at the aspect of, man, he disobeyed and now he's leprous and now he can't be used for anything. A pastor that loves his flock sees I've lost people. A pastor that loves his people, he doesn't say, look at the judgment. He said, I've lost people. People that could have had destiny. Gehazi was once Elisha's trusted representative and a messenger who had been with Elisha for several years. Gehazi knew that Elisha was a prophet of the one true God. We know through scripture that he had personally witnessed God's power by miraculously raising the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. Right? He neutralized the poisoned vegetable soup that was made at Caridad. Amen. And the feeding of the 100 men. Amen. Somebody, I just flew over that, right? And the feeding of the 100 men with the 20 loaves of bread. If anyone should have known and obeyed the commandments of God through his pastor, it should have been Gehazi. Gehazi should have known better. He's seen the miracles that God worked through his pastor. He should have obeyed. Here's the joyful Naaman. He stood before Gehazi and Elisha, no longer leprous. So some of you that don't know the story, amen, the enemy took over a town that had belonged to God. And one of the slaves that had belonged to this man Naaman that was a leper was a child of God, was of the people of God. She was a slave girl. She had compassion, even though her master was her enemy. She had compassion on him. She said, if only he would go see the man of God, he would be healed. So Naaman took the advice of this young girl, went to go see Elisha. Elisha gave him orders to go into the dirty river and wash. He was mad, but he did it, and he came back clean. He was so happy, he wanted to give gifts to Elisha. But Elisha said, no, I won't receive nothing from you. Right now is not the time for that. But Elisha's disciple thought different. After he had traveled some distance, in our scripture, the Bible says that Naaman noticed Gehazi running to catch up with him. After his pastor said, no, we're not going to take from you. Go about your business. God had mercy on you. Gehazi waits for his pastor to go into his house. Then he runs after Naaman. Naaman got down from his chariot, went forth to meet him. He asked him, is everything okay? Gehazi then said what he surely knew in his heart was wrong. He said, Naaman, my pastor sent me to come get some money from some clothing from you. There was two destitute men that came from the sons of the prophet. They just arrived. He made up this whole story. Naaman was pleased with the request. Naaman's like, man, I get to bless the man of God. I don't leave sitting, thinking to myself, I didn't give anything to the man of God. He wanted to do something for the Lord in Elisha because the Lord had mercy on him. He gave generously. Isn't it crazy how some sinners give more generously than saints?
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. Pastor, man of God, your wife left everything to follow you in your dream. Are you going to leave her with nothing? The Bible says he who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. As men of God, we're ready to stand before God due to tragedy at any moment's notice. But what about our families? What happens to them if we were to die? There's an easy financial solution so that they don't have to go through poverty or destitution. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.
Oh, ouch. Sending two servants to help Gehazi carry the goods back. That's a huge blessing. And they arrived in sight of Elisha's home. Gehazi dismissed the servants and then he hid the goods in his house. Soon the disciple was standing before his pastor who asked him, where you been? Gehazi lied again and said, man, I ain't going anywhere. Compounding his deception, Elisha then revealed his divinely given knowledge of Gehazi's lies. And for Gehazi's disobedience, there was a curse upon Gehazi's life. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee. And Gehazi went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. I could just imagine, how probably Elisha was probably weeping before God. I just lost one of my disciples. And I was given this thought from God. You know, as a pastor, my desire is to pour my heart into the church. I thrive and I desire to pour into your life the revelation of God that he graciously would give me. My heart is for the church, for the people of the church. I left everything. My wife and I left everything because my heart's for the things of the church. But this scripture showed me something. That doesn't mean that the hearts of the people are with me. Think of what the passage says. Gehazi lied about his pastor, lied to his pastor, because Gehazi's heart wasn't with his pastor. But Elisha still prayed, loved him so much, that it shows that his heart was for his disciples. See, when people do not follow the order of God, they lose everything. Think about it. You first come into church and there's fellowship and there's a God, man, there's joy, there's things happening. The moment you deter just a little bit, you begin to lose fellowship with God. You lose fellowship with the people of God. You think the church is not there anymore, not happening anymore. Listen, sin separates people from destiny. Sin will separate you from God. A man wrote this statement that I believe to be true. He said, if we tolerate darkness through tolerance of sin, we leave ourselves vulnerable to satanic assault. For wherever there is willful disobedience to the word of God, there is spiritual darkness and the potential for demonic activity. It's powerful. Because we think, if we're honest this morning, church, listen to me. We think, man, I'm just coming to service on Sunday. And that's it. That's not what church is all about. Church is about equipping you to bring you into destiny and purpose, because God has a plan for your life to be used for God. You're not just a number here. You mean so much to God. You mean so much to your church. But there's some people that say, I'm just going to go to church on Sunday and I won't see them until, I don't know, I did my due diligence for 3 months. That's not how God looks at church. When you come and you commit your life to Jesus, now you're part of the family of God. When you're not here the next service, there's a problem. Where's my brother at? Where's my sister at? What's happening? I ain't used to that, Pastor. Get used to it here. Disobedience is sin, and we know it involves many attributes that God hates. But it all comes down to the heart. See, when we read our scripture, we need to understand the whole concept. Right? The girl that was captive of the people, her master Naaman, leprous, the young slave, made the comment, if only he went. Now Gehazi is listening. You can just imagine. Here's Naaman and here's Elisha. And then Gehazi is somewhere listening. He's being nosy. He's listening. So. And they're talking. And Gehazi is at awe that his master refused to take anything from a wealthy, influential, and grateful man. In his mind and heart, someone should benefit from this opportunity. And as we know, as the word of God explains to us, that he took the initiative to run after Naaman, take something from him. He knew his pastor already refused. Listen to me this morning. There will be times I might have to refuse. I'll tell you, right now is not the time. God has probably given me insight that he hasn't given you. Listen to me, church. There's some things that you don't see. It's the order of God. It's not It's not my plan, it's God's plans. But you might see different, and even if you do, you have to make a choice. It's a heart issue. You can either obey and be blessed or disobey and cause your own demise. See, there was a man who wanted to preach, and I remember this. This is several years ago. My pastor and I, we were sitting down, we were having coffee. And I remember I said, you know, before this was before we came to Bridgeport, before God had really spoken to my heart about Bridgeport, I remember telling my pastor, I said, Pastor, maybe God wants to send me overseas or something like that. I know. And we were talking, and he told me, he said, Pablo, not right now. So here it is, my, you know, this is the story that my pastor told me. He said his pastor told him right now is not the time. Several months had passed, and he asked this pastor again. He got the same answer. He got impatient, and he started to do his own thing. And eventually what happened is that he got a crowd of people. And he's thinking to himself, man, this is good. I got a crowd of people, man. My pastor don't know what he's talking about. Pride began to develop. But because he never received his pastor's spirit, he wasn't able to keep anyone that he gained because he had nothing to impart into the people except the very disobedience that he gave to his pastor. So whoever he was to his pastor, when he disobeyed, whenever he gave the word of God, all the spirit that he was throwing out was disobedience. That's what he imparted into those people. He gave others who he was. And because he was in faith, the people that he thought he gathered were also not. Because you give to people exactly. Gehazi thought Elisha deserved a reward. My master has spared Naaman. He also became exactly what Elisha avoided, becoming a taker. Something happens when you go against the order of God. I've seen people, and it hurts my heart, when they self-pastor themselves and reject sound doctrine. He said, please take 2 talents. Gehazi probably thought that God was blessing his venture. Look at this. I only asked for 1. They gave me 2. After all, he asked for just 1 silver talent. And Naaman was happy to give double. Isn't it funny how the enemy can counterfeit blessing and cause you to think that your disobedience was right? How many people you know are not in church? I don't need to be in church. I got all this stuff. I'm blessed. But they are spiritually bankrupt. Come on, somebody. You ain't hearing me this morning. The enemy's very good at doing this, causing people to think that their decision after getting counsel was right. Pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. The enemy has used this strategy for years to confuse and destroy the church.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
See, the fact that he handed them 2 of his servants shows that this was a lot of silver. It required 2 other servants to carry these 2 talents. And according to the compilation about this, one talent weighed 120 pounds. That's a lot of money. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. You know what's insanity about this scripture, about this story, is that Gehazi thought he got away with it. You know how many people think they get away with stuff? The Bible tells us Gehazi stored them away in his house. We try to hide sin the very place that we need to have God. Think about this. He deliberately hid them from his pastor. Gehazi knew that he did wrong. If you have to hide something from your pastor, you know what's wrong. Come on. Let me give you a little side note. If you ask me, Pastor, do you think this is right? You already know it's wrong. And now he goes in and he stands before his pastor. Elisha said, then where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant didn't go anywhere, man. You bugging. You ain't see me eating fruit right there by the tree? But then the sad, when I read this, my heart was broken. There's so many people that I look at. I'm like, how you? I said, I'm doing okay. Then I have to ask the second time, how you? And 2 things could happen. They could reject sound counsel, or they could tell me. Because I pray, God, give me the sermon to see beyond what they're telling me. I want to see through the window of their soul. And God has allowed me for years to be able to read people. He told his disciple, didn't my heart, don't you know I pray fast for you? Don't you know I've invested my life? I know you. And it's so sad that you haven't learned. A good shepherd knows their sheep. We don't know if this was a supernatural knowledge or simply gained from observation and knowing Gehazi's character. One way or another, Elisha knew all Gehazi's attempts to cover his sin failed. Think of the scenery here. This is powerful. Did not my heart go with you even when your heart was not with me? This is scary because this is in the Bible for a reason. And the reason is in the Bible because it can be very much so today. Pastor, how do you do all this stuff? Because I have to make sure the church is ready. How do you do this? How do you do that? You get out of work. You go see this. You go see that. You go do all that because you know what? People are worth it. My heart's for the people. You know, it's funny. When you love someone, you go all out to make sure you show them. Am I right or wrong? You go all out. There's nothing stopping you. Nothing. You make arrangements. You change. You shift things around. But you're gonna make sure you're going to show these. I show the church. I'll shift things around. I know this is a little heavy, church. Really, but God is really trying to help us come more vertically deaf purpose that he has for our church. Matthew chapter 15 verse 8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Is it time to receive money? See, it seems that Elijah had no absolute law against receiving support from those who'd been touched by the ministry. Yet it was spiritually clear to Elisha and should have been clear to Gehazi that it was not appropriate at this time and circumstance. Listen, there are times when you may think things are to be done or ministries that some are thinking they deserve. If God tells me right now is not the time and you do your own thing, to be honest with you, I'll be praying for God's mercy. Gehazi thought he knew better and destroyed destiny. Be careful that you're not in danger of destroying destiny. Right? He says money. What is money? Money security. He said clothing. Clothing is covering. He said, is it time to receive olive groves and vineyards, blessings from others? Sheep, oxen, male and female servants, a crowd. Obviously, Gehazi did not bring all these things home, Naaman. Yet he wanted all these things, and Elisha exposed his greedy heart. People that desire ministry outside of discipleship have a pride. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, Pastor, listen. Pastor, why are you preaching this morning? Because God is really building his church. And we have to have a solid foundation to be able to build upward. And if people are not aware, I've done a disservice to you. Because as soon as things begin to happen, why is this out of order? Why is that out of order? Why is this? Because there was no discipleship. People just, we're very militant in how we do stuff. We like things to be in order. You already know, right? You know how the service goes. Nothing is crazy. We have order. People like order. People don't like chaos. What's happening here? What's happening there? It's like brings confusion in the church. The deepest wrong in the action of Gehazi was that it involved a divine witness which had been born to the Syrian Naaman by the action of the little servant maid in his house. See, the two didn't connect. You have a slave girl that was really set free in her heart because of obedience. And then you have a disciple that was bound because of disobedience. Come on. The leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and descendants forever. This is scary. Because believe it or not, this was a very severe judgment. But as a man in ministry, Gehazi was under a stricter judgment. When he allowed himself to covet what Naaman had, he thought only in terms of money that Naaman possessed. See, God allowed him to keep the riches, but also gave him the other thing, Naaman, and that was severe leprosy. Think of how this man wanted to do something for God, but couldn't navigate his temptation to prayer, but was led by, you know, there's a man by the name of Clark. He said, Gehazi is not the last who has got money in an unlawful way and has got God's curse with it. There's another man that said, we see here a pagan who by an act of faith is cured of leprosy, and then an Israelite who by an act of dishonor is cursed with it. Just think about that. Disobeying God is the same as telling him to hold back of all the blessings that come with obedience. When you disobey God, what you say is, God, I don't want to be blessed right now. But you're deceiving yourself to think, I'm going to get something. This is not only craziness, but it's insane. But the wonders of God is that he desires to. See, that's the God that we want to hear about. But we can't ignore the God of judgment. But he only moves when we obey. God doesn't bless disobedience. He will never go against his word. You want healing? You want to fulfill destiny? Obey the order. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 through 15 says this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Listen to me this morning. You can only learn what obedience is by actually obeying. Right? I mean, think of how many people do you know that are continuously disobeying God, saying, God, here's my prayers. The Bible specifically told us here, if they humble themselves and repent, then my ears are attentive. Right? There's stipulations here. You can't say, oh, God, you know, I love you. And then go sin. God is not hearing your prayers. Your prayers are hindered because sin is blocking. But if you repent of your sin, the Bible tells us, I will open my ear attentive to you. See, this wonderful promise is in the context of God's promise to answer prayer from the church, which he chooses to hallow with his presence. God promised something special to you and I, we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. There's something naturally humbling in true prayer, because what it does is it recognizes that the answers are not in ourselves, but in God. God promises something special to humble praying people. The phrase, "my people who are called by my name," had its first application to the people of Israel as they lived in the land God promised them. But nevertheless, the same God who made this promise to Israel still reigns in the heavens and will still respond to his humble praying people in our church this morning. But this is what God says in his word. Turn from their wickedness. What's wicked? Lying, stealing, cheating, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, pornography, you know, gossip. You want me to go on? We know what's wicked. We know. Come on. But Pastor, I didn't come here. I came to get the happy juice. You know what's the happy juice? When we come to the altar and repent, we say, God, you know, I'm a sinner in need of saving. I'm tired of leaving your presence without change. I'm tired of feeling good about my lifestyle, knowing that it doesn't please you. I want to do something that's actually going to get your attention. Repent. Heaven stops. Everybody's looking. Another one's coming. That's joy. That's what you call joy. When the heavens are celebrating because we made a decision to live right before God.
Pastors, disciples, ministry leaders, how many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
You know, some churches say your blessing and all the stuff that you have show that you have God's favor. Well, the scripture tells us different, because the enemy can bless your sin, but it's going to leave a curse in your life. People say, man, you know what? I'm doing good, man. You got to see, you know, God is moving in all these areas. Look at the car I got. Look at the house I got. Look at my bank account. Look at all these things. And then it's time to pay the piper. Apart from me, you work. You miss out on eternity for the hearing. Did not my heart go with you? See, this great promise of answered prayer in 2 Chronicles also includes the condition of repentance. So as the people of God humble themselves, as they pray and seek the face of God, they must also turn from their wicked ways of disobedience. And this wasn't enough to merely turn their hearts to God. They had to turn their lives to God. Your life. He said, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. See, God simply promises to hear the prayer of his humble, praying, seeking, repentant people. He will bring forgiveness to his people, healing to their land. What part of your life needs healing? Right? Think about it. We just think land like the country. Listen, my land is my house. What do you need healing? Your health, your finances, your children, your marriage? What is it? If you will humble yourself, repent, seek my face, I will heal these things in your life. God promised to pay special attention to the prayers offered from the people in this church that sincerely repent of their sin. See, we can be confident to know that our prayers that we offer to God and Jesus are going to be very much heard, because we have access to God because Jesus ripped the veil. As I closed this morning, one man said, my eyes and my heart will be there. Jesus said, my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. The idea of God having a heart is extremely rare in the Bible. And the only other explicit reference speaks of God suffering heart pains because of the evil of humanity. It's hard to think of a more intimate way to end God's love for his people. He says, my heart. The thought I want to bring to you this morning as I close, we can see the church horizontally. But the thing that I want our church to grow vertical, deeper, reroot things in the things of God, can touch heaven. It's going to start with fully obeying the order. I know that the devil would love to make a Gehazi out of his church. I know that. He's done it for years. I've seen so many churches just fall because pastors are not really giving the word of God like this. They're worried. Listen, if you're giving truth, God's going to work all these things. I can't be worried. I love our church too. But I also know that God wants to make a strong, great, and obedient people, right? Because his plans are good and his order is right. So my thought to you this morning is that there's going to be times I'm going to ask you that I'm pouring it out into God's people to fulfill destiny. That's my desire. And that's my hope this morning, that you would allow me to pour my into you so you feel destined, because God's plans are good. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed up. In respect to your neighbor this morning, we serve a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace.